Listen, I want people to know, in case you are participating in Whamageddon, I did pull some strings behind the scenes, and at least for now, we are a wham-free zone. So you can know
that's good
that you are safe here at My Talk. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hi, happy Friday. We made it, you guys, to another weekend. Oh, I could not be happier.
I had that moment this morning. I was driving the car with my 15-year-old, and I said out loud, I just can't wait till Monday or for Friday. And he goes, Mom, today's Friday. It was like he had given me a gift. Oh, I forgot that today was Friday.
How did you forget? I've been praying for it to come all week.
And it's finally here.
Yes.
Well, listen, last night being Thursday meant that we were able to view the first interview with Alec Baldwin after the accidental shooting on the set of his movie Rust. George Stephanopoulos interviewed him. And, you know, we both got the opportunity to watch it. And I bet we both have some initial thoughts.
Oh, I'm sure we do. Do you have some takeaways?
Well, okay, so the first thing I'll just start here. He began the entire interview saying one thing that I felt was really important. He essentially said, I'm not here to center myself in this story. It's important to remember that a person lost their life and another person was injured.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, we are off to a good start.
Yeah, that's a good sign. I mean, that's the right thing to say.
Right? And then I thought, let's see what's going to happen now. And I will say, for the most part, he really did continue to be focused on the tragedy of the life lost while he talked about his experience of what happened on that fateful day on the set of the movie Rust. What were your thoughts, Brad?
So The way I approach an interview like this, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and the way that I would approach any interview like this is to first put it into context. So you have Alec Baldwin, who is an actor, giving an interview before any police investigation results or information has been given in terms of what actually happened on the set that led to the death of a woman and another person injured and like an entire cast traumatized, right? Mm-hmm. So you have... So Alec Baldwin, as an actor, giving a sit-down, in-depth, quote-unquote, interview with a major news outlet before anything's really been given to us in the way of actual facts seems a very calculated thing. Mm-hmm. And so then I say, well, and it might not be a bad thing, but to me, I look at that as saying, that's a calculated thing. Okay, so that's in context. So then what did he actually say or what actually happened? It also puts my spidey senses up or puts me a little bit on edge to sort of remember, here we have an actor who makes a living convincing people of a portrayal of a character when he's acting, when he's actually doing his job. So like I'm just putting all those things into context, and those are all the filters that are up for me. So at the outset, I approach this as this is a potentially career saving performance Alec Baldwin is about to give. That's what I honestly think this is, because there is no need for him to give this interview again, as a public or the people involved connect or directly to what happened. They don't need Alec Baldwin to have an interview. This is all Alec Baldwin's choice. I also understand sort of like the motives that ABC would have for airing an interview like this. It's called ratings. Understand. So this interview doesn't need to happen. So then why are we doing it? Well, I think it's because Alec Baldwin wants to try to save his career. Okay, so Alec Baldwin, actor, trying to save his career. I don't want to say he was acting, but his performance in that interview, important to saving his career. Did he do that? I don't know. Did he give a good performance? Yes. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is he answered some emotional questions, some pointed direct questions. But then you have to take all of that stuff aside. Like, here's an actor who can be emotional, who can cry, who can make us feel things. Because if you were just sort of watching without a lot of context or thought, you'd think, wow, this dude is really broken up about this.
Right.
And, you know, as a human being, I would be broken up about it, too. You can connect on all those things. So in that way, he did a good job last night. But then I looked at what is he actually saying in this interview? And it's very clear to me that he said two things. One of them is, I am not the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, centered yep. himself or did not center himself. But then he also says that he's not responsible.
Right.
So to me, the biggest question most people showed up to hear last night is how, if not why, how did you end up holding a gun that killed another person?
Right. How right? did this happen?
And what he seems to do is deftly walk a line between I'm not a victim. I, you know, am an important person who. Well, he doesn't even say these things outright because I kept listening for him to say, I am a, you know, a leader. I am responsible. I am a part of mm-hmm. the thing that he tells us all mm-hmm. about what it's like on a movie set.
Right.
He tells us all about the things that go on behind the movie set. But he never says, I, as the head of this production, am responsible. Even if you're not intentionally pulling a trigger to end someone's life irresponsibly,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I didn't know there was anything in it, but you still pull the trigger. Like, he never says he did that. Well, nobody's questioning that because, again, we don't have the police, you know, account of what actually happened yet.
Right. And he does, and he does make note of that, that there is an actual investigation yeah. going on about what actually happened.
So he tells us how everything looked and what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding a gun. He's pulling this thing, but it's not the trigger. He would never do the thing because that's how he's been trained. So like he jumps through all the hoops to not make himself legally responsible
right.
because, again, this is a performance and he can't get in the way of an actual investigation. So he's not
been prepared for this, like so
like every
super
other
prepared.
Acting role
right.
that he's had in his life.
Right.
So he's not the victim. She's the victim. She has a family.
Mm-hmm.
He met with the father. I could go on, but essentially he's not the victim. But then who's responsible? And he does not say he is responsible. Now, if he's not responsible in an ethical sense or in a philosophical sense or in a like non-legal sense, who is responsible? Now there could be somebody who like nefariously put a gun or a bullet somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but like if you're making a performance,
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why you would show up and just not take ownership. I'm not saying he should. I'm
right.
saying I think that's what everybody wanted is for him to take some sort of ownership of what happened. Like, even if I didn't intentionally shoot someone, because I think we can all sort of relate to that. Like, mm-hmm. you can understand that there is a world in which this went down as an accident. It was not intentional,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
mm-hmm.
that seems plausible. And nobody would hold Alec Baldwin accountable. Now, legally, financially, all that stuff, that may be a different story. But, like, from an audience perspective, determining at, from the court of public opinion if we are going to hold Alec Baldwin accountable, I think most people could walk away and say, well, I wouldn't hold him directly. Nobody thinks he killed her intentionally.
Right. Well,
right.
Right. I think there are people who think that, but.
Well, they're, yeah, they have
yes.
a political motive and
yes.
they, no matter if Alec Baldwin showed up and pulled his pants down and then left,
yeah.
they would say he's guilty.
Right.
Like, I
right.
get, you're absolutely right. There are
there
people.
There are people who do, but most people who are following the story closely, who are of sound mind,
yeah.
don't believe that he is guilty.
So I think to the broad audience, people probably who aren't thinking about this very much are probably like, oh, that's got to be hard. Anybody who's thinking, though, goes, well, he's trying to make a, you know, he's trying to save his career and not step in legal jeopardy.
Right.
And for that, I guess you could say he did it. But I would just say, I'm not quite sure why we did any of this.
I think, you know, actually, that is like the biggest takeaway for me is I walked away from it feeling like, huh? Because he basically, like to your point, said he didn't do it. But he also didn't say I'm responsible, and he didn't say, but this is the person who is. In
well,
fact, he almost bent over backwards to say, I don't know who really actually is. So then it was just a big bunch of questions that were logistical that got answered, but didn't get us any closer to understanding better what happened.
There's a lot of, and again, if you guys are just joining us, we're talking about Alec Baldwin's interview last night on ABC. And if you sort of paid attention to all the different little conversations and side streets that they went down, like, you know, about the production, about his support of the crew, and about like the things that were going on behind the scenes, it was clear to me that there was some issues on set that were not being addressed. There were some accidental discharges that took place. There were some feelings behind the scenes. If you are, I'm not saying he's the only person in charge of that production, but if you are a person in charge, and by all accounts, he seemed like the lead person in charge, meaning he was forking over his own salary to put people up in hotel rooms or, you know, what have you. Like, he was a part of this project in a way that no one, if not one or two other people, were. So at that level, in my mind, when you're in charge, if something happens on your watch, you take responsibility for that. It's not legal responsibility, but just from like a leadership standpoint. But he tries to like not have to do that and gives you all these plausible reasons why you shouldn't hold him accountable.
Oh, sorry.
What was that?
That was a, an alarm I set for myself for something else.
I was like, I'm not sure where that's coming from. Anyway. Alec Baldwin is calling and he would like to take issue with some of the things we've just said.
No, but to your point, he did go, he did almost bend over backwards to not take full, any type of responsibility by telling us what kind of a producer he actually is, that he was not the one who hired the people who did the things. It was very much a like, I didn't touch any of this. The only thing that I touched was that gun.
Which actually was the thing that led to the end of another person's life. Right. So I just, I don't get that. Like, nobody is saying you intentionally meant to kill this woman.
Right.
But she died. And he, here was another telling thing to me. He talks about the interaction he had with the woman's husband and her child who was there. And he does this, you know, wonderful sort of, and again, it's not that I don't take Alec Baldwin seriously. I just understand that he's an actor and is very good at calling on emotions when he needs them, which probably doesn't just end when he leaves a job, right? So, like, I get all that. So I probably sound a little, you know, like, careless is not the right word, but a little cynical. It doesn't matter. The interaction he had with the dad was very telling to me because he says to the dad, I'm not sure what to say to you. I don't know what to say. I have no words, he said. And I was like, you have no words? And he goes on to say, like, you know, I'm here for whatever you need. If there's anything I can do, you know, like all of, okay, that sounds great, but like, you have no words. You were holding a gun. That ended his wife's life and the mother of his child's life. The guy doesn't think you're you did it intentionally. But I just think on a human level, the fact that you couldn't even own something in that moment.
You could have started with, I'm sorry. And the I'm sorry does not need to be an admission of guilt or responsibility. It is just, I am so sorry that this happened.
Or, well, I don't even think that would be enough for my taste, because just from a universal, like, you got to right the wrongs in the universe, you were holding the gun. Like, I get that accidents happen, and that's a thing Alec Baldwin is going to have to live with the rest of his life. I'm not saying it's a small thing. I'm saying it's a very big thing.
But to say I have no words.
But and again, he can say that, right? He did say that, fine. But that tells me about you, and that tells me about you as a person, that you were so concerned with not admitting anything in that moment. And again, I'm assuming, but this is my opinion, that you would tell us that in that moment, the best you could offer that man and his child was, I have no words. That seems a little like not satisfactory to the series of events that actually put him in that position.
Well, we do have words. We have so many words. I think we've proven that. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we're going to have words with Elizabeth Reese. She's bringing us all the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a Dirt Alert after this on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
The beautiful Elizabeth Reese is here with all the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a Dirt Alert. Hey, Elizabeth.
Well, hi, you guys. I'm on location shooting cookie recipes at a bakery in St. Louis Park. So
fun.
I'm coming to you with a sugar high, and I'm on the phone on this Friday.
That's how we like you.
Elizabeth, what was the best thing you ate?
Oh, my gosh. This amazing cookie with sweet potato in it. It was a sweet potato snickerdoodle with chocolate chips. And all of the recipes are going to start airing on Monday on Twin Cities Live for my 13th annual 12 Days of Cookies series. Can you believe that? So we're having a really good time baking as we get prepared, but I was running a little late with the oven, so I decided to call you instead.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Listen, you guys, when it comes to work, everybody has a dollar amount that they can say, oh, it's worth it or it's not worth it, right? Mm-hmm. Like if somebody said, hey, we want you to drive to Fargo, North Dakota to drop something off and we'll pay you $10. You would probably go, that's not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. George Clooney, his number is a little bit different. He declined $35 million for one day's work.
What? Okay. What was the work that he said no to that for?
A one-day shoot for an airline commercial. He says, Amal and I decided it's just not worth it. He said, part of it is us just making sure we live our lives when he's talking about being selective.
Elizabeth, I can't.
Listen, and I love George, but that's a little out of touch.
I just want to say, I feel like, George, that was an inside thought, and it should have stayed there.
Yeah.
Right? The rest of the world does not understand you right now.
I just decided
we cannot relate.
No.
I decided to turn down the amount one day that most people will never make in their entire lives.
Lifetime.
Or the lives of their spouses. Right? Or the lives of their children combined.
Yeah.
Or the lives of all of their ancestors. You're exactly right.
Exactly.
So it's an interview that he did with The Guardian. He's talking about directing his new movie, The Tender Bar. And he was asked whether he feels he has enough money now at this stage in life. And George Clooney said, well, yeah, I was offered $35 million for one day's work for an airline commercial.
Okay.
But I talked to him all about it. And we decided it's not worth it. And he did not understand the
assignment because the question was just, do you have enough money? We didn't need to know about what he missed out on.
Yeah, like you didn't have to prove it.
Right. We're good. Thanks.
I get it. Yeah.
Sorry, Elizabeth.
He did say, though, that airline was associated with a country that, although it's an ally, is questionable at times. And so I thought, well, if it takes a minute sleep away from me, it's not worth it.
Okay.
So I do kind of understand that when it's coming with, like, who does he want to align himself with? But leading with the $35 million to do the one day versus, like, making... Maybe it would have been better to go, like, hey, I make choices based on what aligns with my values, and so no amount of money... would cause me to compromise that.
Really quickly, what aligns with his public values? Because there's a blind item, Elizabeth, and I don't want to go too deep in the weeds, but you know we love our blind items. There's a blind item about how he might want to be more forthcoming than about what countries he's getting the money for his movie projects from.
Ooh.
So he wonders how much of this was just an attempt to sort of distract from the larger conversation.
Okay, that's interesting, you guys. This is why you two are so good at what you do.
Welcome.
Obsessed with all the wrong things.
Do you got any tinfoil over there you can put on your head, Elizabeth?
Oh, I'm sure there's some inside the bakery. Yeah. I'm actually looking in the window right now. I'll go check for it.
Yeah.
There's definitely parchment paper. Would that do in a pinch?
No, sorry. We're going to need something reflective and metallic.
All right, fair enough. Okay, before I go, two quick notes. Aziz Ansari is engaged to his Danish girlfriend, Serena Skov Campbell, so congratulations to him. And Billie Eilish has ditched her blonde hair, and she went brunette, and she looks fabulous. Like, her eyes look amazing. I really love a dramatic hair color change. I think it's so fun.
She is beautiful, and I want her to be happy in her skin and in her hair and whatever else she wants to be happy in.
I'm with you. All right, guys, I got to go eat more cookies.
Have fun
Elizabeth
Reese. We'll take a doggy bag. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we've got some blind items, some pop culture mysteries to solve in a little segment we call Blinded by the Item after this on My Talk 107.1. We've got some pop culture mysteries to solve right here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Brian, will you join us in solving some of these blind items?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's do it. Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by
All right, these blind items are juicy bits of gossip with the names left out. And you crazy kids today, Colleen and Brian, thanks for playing, are going to have to figure out who we are talking about. And we've got some goodies, some easier than others. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Super excited.
The one still in charge issued a very rare edict. She wanted no trials of the century while she's still alive, and ordered the result that was issued. Now, let's see if the one still in charge can also stop the documentary slash hit job.
Ooh, okay. The one still in charge.
Yeah, this is not a description we've heard before.
Huh.
From our good friend Enty Lawyer, who creates these blind items for crazydaysandnights.net. But it should all make sense to you once you figure it out.
Okay, so something about documents?
Documents.
I'm sorry. Oh. I was trying to keep track of all of it.
I feel like I read a dirt alert on this a couple days ago.
Oh, well, what? Spill it.
I'm trying to remember the name, though.
Darn it. You have that thing that we have. It's so called show amnesia.
Let me give you a little taste of what I just read. Mm-hmm. So the one still in charge issued a very rare edict.
Uh-huh.
She wants no trials of the century.
The queen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And what was the result that was issued? So let me just read this for you, and then we'll fill in the blanks. The queen issued a very rare edict. She doesn't want trials of the century while she's still alive, and she ordered the result that was issued. Now, let's see if she can stop the documentary and hit job.
Ooh, okay, so it had something to do with Prince Andrew.
No.
No?
No. Well, I mean, look, it could, but I think most people assumed it's about a thing that happened, the edict that was issued.
I don't know that I've been paying attention to her edicts.
One day ago, New York Times, Meghan Markle wins legal battle against the Daily Mail.
Ah. Mm.
So if she, you know, I think the implication is she said, make that happen because I don't want to deal with this stuff while I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's a documentary slash hit job that's just around the corner.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Mm. Oh, I like it. I like it. Okay, that was a good one.
I mean, I like that. Also, I'm sorry, Brian, but that also requires you to believe that the queen can make like verdicts happen, and I don't know about that, but whatever. It's
listen,
a great story.
I'm here for this. Yeah. I like the drama. I like this idea that the queen is just kicking it on her throne with her cocktail, being like, make it so, but in a British accent with her corgis.
That's a boss move right there.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Isn't that why you want to be a queen?
I mean, I would hope.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do another one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Blinded by the item. This talk show host decided his ego was more important than whatever happened to his employees during the holiday season. They're without a job. He could have waited a month, but instead only looked after himself.
Okay. Wow. It's a talk show host.
Yep.
And it's a he. Is it Jerry Springer?
No, it is not.
Is it James Corden?
Oh.
That's a good guess because of the
really good guess.
Talk show hosts we know of who have a bad rap in blind item world, James Corden is a good candidate. Now, I want you to both think about some other news we learned this week.
Okay.
Because remember, again, this is saying that a talk show host was like, I'm going to do something that's going to benefit me.
Right.
But that also is going to leave you out of a job.
All of you.
Merry Christmas. So think about a talk show host.
Right.
That we talked about this week who changed or decided to change careers.
Oh, geez. Hmm.
That required him to leave his job.
Okay, why do I, like, I'm scanning? I know, but I'm, like, scanning right now. Scanning. Who's, Dr. Oz. Oh,
ding, yeah. Ding.
Yes. Ew.
So Dr. Oz decided his ego was more important than whatever happened to his employees during the holiday season. Because now they're without a job. He could have waited a month, but instead he's just looking after himself.
I've always known that about that man.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody who's going to try to make you think that COVID isn't real and you can get skinny by eating coffee beans. I mean,
and acai berries. I will say, I do recall to his credit, what little there is.
Oh, God.
He was the one that supposedly was trying to encourage Wendy Williams to get the vaccine.
Oh, good.
So,
well, I think he and a lot of other people in his, line of work that have also said some questionable things, other talk show hosts that decided to act like they had more of an epidemiologist degree than whatever actual medical degree they may or may not have. He does, but others who acted like him didn't. They changed their tune, but at that point, many could argue the damage had already been done.
And now we are where we are. Okay, let's do another one. Let's just go back. Okay.
Blinded by the item.
CrazyDaysAndNights.net gives us all sorts of blind items. They're just juicy bits of gossip with the names left out. Here's another one, you crazy kids.
All right.
This offspring of an A-plus list reality star is not even old enough to have an account on this short-form video social media platform. That being said, there was an exception made because they're trying to expose the next generation to the masses and already have a marketing deal in place for someone who's not even a tween yet.
Do you know who this is, Brian?
If I had to guess, is it Khloe Kardashian?
You're
kid?
In the right family.
Okay.
It's a different Kardashian.
Stormy?
No, that's Kylie's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Who's the like biggest Kardashian?
Oh, Kim.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And her daughter, North.
Do you think it's North?
I think so.
I will say most of the comments thought it was another Kardashian, but I will say all of the Kardashians have been mentioned in the comments for different reasons. But a lot of them said, I guess that Kourtney has a separate account that was shut down originally for her daughter, and then they started a joint account together.
Oh. So the big news this past week has been that North has a TikTok account.
Oh, okay.
And that in the comments, people are asking her to show videos of her parents' pay stubs and like social security numbers. And like as a joke, right? Because they know it's not really her running it. But she shouldn't. I mean, technically speaking, she should not have a TikTok account.
Yeah.
No.
I don't even know how she would. That's the fascinating thing, because don't they have age restrictions for kids?
A lot of kids have.
Well, I know. This is not any kid is my point.
Right. What I will say is, and I think that's sort of what the blind item is saying, is like they're turning a blind eye to it because
money.
TikTok will go through and shut down accounts for kids who are clearly underage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, okay. That's oof. So it's some Kardashian, and that's the end
of the story. It's all of them.
It's the Kardashians.
All of them. All
right. Yes.
Let's do another one.
Blinded by the item.
All right. Another piece of gossip with the names left out. And this one, let's see. I want to do, how much time do we have? Oh, yes. I want to do, I'm going to end on this one.
Okay.
Now, this is a revealed blind item. Mm. And it goes as follows. I would really like to know why this couple, who had to turn back rumors they split this past week, doesn't come clean about a couple things. Why, for instance, is the Maybach you supposedly bought as a gift always have a series of continually changing license plate numbers whenever it ends up in a photograph or a photo shoot being posted by the couple? Have you noticed that whenever workout photos are posted, they always feature a pair in the same clothes as the photos that were taken a year or two ago in a shoot, and then they're just randomly posted?
Huh.
Do you know?
I have an idea.
Okay, guess it.
I'm pretty sure this is wrong, but Shawn Mendes?
No.
No, you're in the right neighborhood.
It's another publationship, and if you've stuck around with us long enough, you know about the what we would probably call like the top publationship. It is
Britney?
No.
Oh.
Priyanka. Chopra and Nick Jonas.
The Jonas.
Yeah.
The Jonas
the
bonus.
The Jonas bonus.
All right. So just to reiterate.
I'll ding it for you.
Thank you.
I'd really like to know why Jonas, who had to turn back rumors they split this last week, doesn't come clean about a couple things. Why, for instance, is the Maybach you supposedly bought as a gift always have a series of continually changing license plate numbers? Also, I tried to verify this one. You can imagine they never show license plate numbers. But this was a vehicle that Nick bought for Priyanka.
Allegedly.
In thanks for doing all of the helping him promote his single album. I don't know. Anyway, also notice that whenever workout photos are posted, they always feature the pair in same clothes. The same clothes, by the way, they were wearing a year or two ago. It's basically just reiterating what we already know about these.
I'm going to be spending some time on their Instagrams now. Thank you very much. Look at this. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, We've got some more Chonis news.
Isn't that convenient?
Look at that. How did you? That was like it was planned.
Almost like I knew what we were doing.
We are going to have a little Chonis bonus after this on My Talk 107.1. Thanks, Brian. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Hi. And, you know, when we talk about a particular publicationship, we call them Chonis. We have a little Chonis bonus.
It's time for a Chonis bonus.
You know, we really should probably go back. We did not properly celebrate the anniversary of what I think it's safe to say is our most popular publicationship here on the Colleen and Bradley
it
Show.
It really is like the what's the word when it's like like founding.
It's our founding document. Founding. It's the Declaration of Independence.
Thank you. It's the because Declaration of Publationship.
It's what led to the consecration of the publationship as a term here on the Colleen and Bradley Show. And specifically, this is now the third anniversary, or rather December 2nd, a day which will live in infamy. December 2nd is the third, actually first, Wednesday, December 1st.
That's a lot of numbers.
Was the third anniversary for Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra. And we acknowledged it sort of like superficially, but I feel like we should celebrate it the best way we know how, which is just by reminding everyone of the lies that we're grateful for, because really they showed us the light. And, you know, I can share with you something that an article, which became a D-bag of mine earlier this week, purported to share, but didn't. And that's what Priyanka Chopra had to say about her time away from Nick during the pandemic, because it does provide, you know, all of the eye rolls. Again, just to set the stage briefly for the audience, Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas were our founding publicationship couple, meaning celebrity relationship for publicity, for a very specific reason, or at least several reasons. Like, what to the uninformed listener would you describe as special about this publicationship?
Okay, first of all, I would say we really cut our publicationship teeth on this publicationship. And so I don't think we really started to understand what we were looking at until, and this is the same thing that really makes them special, until we really noticed the aggressive, in-your-face SponCon that they were both subjecting us to. And it started very early. I mean, their publicationship started sort of suddenly, and then the engagement happened very quickly. And then it was from the engagement on that we were treated to a cavalcade of SponCon opportunities, including but not limited to watches, vodkas, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Scooters, green lime, that's there.
Yeah.
Lime scooters. I mean, it was aggressive.
And so honestly, people can, you know, say like, we're like poo pooing what they're doing, but I'm actually grateful for it because it allowed us to see, you know,
the light,
the thing that not all celebrities, but a lot of celebrities choose to do, and that is use their relationship for the purposes of publicity. Mm-hmm. And in the case of Chonis particularly, to monetize it in a way that comes across a little crass, I will say, or at least not as adept as, say, you know, like a Brad Pitt or I don't know, like any celebrity who lives their life, their relationship in public,
right?
That maybe has done it more seamlessly, right? Like there's just a different way you can do it, and they just seem to care less about
what it
making
looks
it
like.
So obvious for us, which I'm grateful for, again, because it gives us many opportunities to be like, oh yeah, that's a thing, like monetizing, you know, like getting Tiffany's to do this and getting, you know, this brand to do this. That's a real thing. And increasingly, honestly, like we sort of maybe raise an eyebrow about it. Most people don't, because most people out there doing the very same thing. I mean, just open up your social media.
Right. So it's really, you know, when you said 3-year anniversary, it made me honestly think of, you know, a group of friends that I was with. We were actually running Ragnar when this happened, and that they had gotten together, Nick and Priyanka. And we were talking about Hollywood gossip in the van as, you know, we were following our runners. And one of my girlfriends said, I just think they're the cutest couple. And I said, they're not a real couple. And she goes, you are the most cynical person I've ever met. And that's when I realized that, and this is not any type of diss on people, but like most
people. But I'm
about
to diss people.
Well, no, but like that most people do buy this, that it's that easy to make, because most people aren't paying close attention, or they don't care enough, or they're willing to accept what they're told.
Also, we all have our own blind spots, and I will look no further. Please take no personal offense to your love for Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So, like, you eat Taylor Swift's product.
I was really nervous about where you were going. Because I know you, and I know what you were really going to say.
No, I was not. No, what I'm saying is whatever confection she is manufacturing, you will eat up and be less critical about, because for you, it's entertainment. Or it's something you appreciate and you don't care. It's not even that you're not aware, because I think you are aware of how, you know, dangerous Taylor Swift is. I'm kidding. But how, like, she's part of the same thing. It's not
the machine.
She just poops out something a little.
Smells
a little nicer to you.
More my brand.
Yeah, it's more your
brand. No, that's a fact. No,
so
that's
what I'm saying
fact.
Is that, like, to some people, and that's why... When I, too, am around groups of people and they say, what do you think about blank? I choose my words very carefully, because I don't want to be that guy who's like, it's all a lie.
Yeah, but you're like, I'll do that between noon and three.
Yeah, like, if you want the real story.
Yeah, tune in.
But
in real life, we don't want to sound as cynical as we actually are.
Yeah, or not cynical. We just know the truth.
We just get it. We just
know it. Well, also, I encourage anyone to stand on the same street corner and not have a better understanding of what happens on that street corner if you stood there every day for 3 hours.
Right.
Like, we're just in that place for 3 hours every day.
Right.
So we see things that other people just walk by and they're like, oh, that's a pretty flower.
Right. And we're like,
actually, that flower was planted by a serial killer and a dog just pooped on it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
You had something else you were going to throw out there.
Yeah. So I wanted to share with you the thing that Priyanka actually.
Oh, yeah.
Was alleged to have said, but we never got to, because the dumb article that from InStyle that claimed she said some things, they never put that in the article. Well, I found the actual things that she said.
Okay, what did she say?
And it's all about, and again, this is just why it's like, oh, you guys. It's all about Priyanka Chopra sharing how difficult life was for her and Nick during the pandemic.
Okay. So was it more difficult for the two of them?
And well,
than everybody else.
This year has been really, really tough.
Yeah.
It's been really, really tough to be away from home for an entire year, especially at a time when you can't travel to see your family. Just the uncertainty of my mom and my brother in India, my husband in America while I'm in the UK. There was just so much uncertainty. And that to me was terrifying, of not being able to get on a flight and travel just in case something went wrong or something happened. But thankfully, you know, everyone was okay. She said being alone and away from her husband was very challenging, but they've been making long distance work the best way they could. We didn't have a dramatic separation, but because he was in and out, we had to be really careful. So what follows is basically her just reminding us of all of the privileged things they've had in order to stay connected, including but not limited to their private jets, flights to each other, and quarantines in fabulous homes.
Which probably actually didn't happen, by the way. But a whole different story for a whole different day.
The next layer.
Yeah. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we'll tell you what we want from you after this on My Talk 107.1.